If you want to make money, dominate a global cultural phenomenon, Apple, the iPhone company, just made a staggering amount of money. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. From China to the U.S., Europe, and beyond, great legions of people went to pray in the chapel of Apple. The company late yesterday reported it made $18 billion in just the October to December quarter. That's an increase of 38%.
Apple said that sales in China doubled during the quarter and that China is its second biggest market.
Fortune Magazine's Adam Leshinsky covers Apple from Silicon Valley.
There's actually been a lot of concern that low-end cell phone manufacturers in China, like Xiaomi in particular, would hurt Apple. There's no evidence of that. Apple has a commanding lead at the high end of the Chinese market, as it does most other places, including the United States.
Leshinsky, who's also author of the book Inside Apple, believes these quarterly results answer a question that's been hanging over the company.
In the several years after Steve Jobs died, I cautioned people not to assume the game was over for Apple. Now it has come out with some very nice new products in the form of iPhone and some genuinely revolutionary products in terms of the watch, which we haven't seen in the marketplace yet, and Apple Pay. So it's impossible to say that Apple is incapable of innovating. They are capable of innovating.
By one calculation, Apple was selling 34,000 iPhones an hour, 24/7 last quarter. We'll see if investors see all of this as a peak and an invitation to sell at a high point. That said, AAPL stock is up 7.3% in pre-market trading now. Keeping with this theme of breathtaking amounts of money, the political network overseen by the billionaire Koch brothers aims to raise nearly $900 million to spend on the 2016 presidential campaign. Marketplace's Noel King reports.
What's notable, besides the vast sum, is that the money would come from just a few hundred people, says Lawrence Lessig, a law professor at Harvard.
What our framers thought when they set up our republic was that we would have a Congress that would be dependent, as Madison said, on the people alone. And by the people, not the rich more than the poor.
But the number of big or even medium donors is generally very small. Data shows that only about 0.4% of Americans gave more than $200 to candidates, parties, or PACs in the 2012 cycle. Bert Johnson teaches political science at Middlebury College. He says even though the Koch brothers have a conservative agenda, the Republican Party is probably worried.
As the party, you'd rather have that money under your own control than under some outside group's control.
And he says it's important to look back to 2012. The Romney campaign spent more money than the Obama campaign and still lost. I'm Noel King for Marketplace.
Now markets. The guardians of interest rates at the Fed are meeting today. Their concluding statement will be read with interest by market participants. The 100-share index in London is down 3 points now. S&P and NASDAQ futures are up after the surge downward on Tuesday. The Dow future is down, though. There was a surprise cut in interest rates to boost the economy in Singapore today, and the Singapore dollar fell sharply. Profits at many big banks have been falling as of late, but J.P. Morgan and Bank of America have found one niche market where revenue is guaranteed: federal prisons. Marketplace's Stan Alcorn has the story.
When Greg Cavaluzzi got out of federal prison, the first thing he did was take his parents to Wendy's.
We didn't really talk. We ate, and we were just so happy to be next to each other.
He paid for the roughly $10 meal with money he'd made as a jailhouse librarian, which the prison gave him not in cash or check, but on a special J.P. Morgan Chase debit card.
How much was $10 to you kind of at that time?
Everything. It was everything. I was used to making $10 a month.
But those hard-earned dollars disappeared faster than he expected. And when he called the bank, he found out the reason was fees.
You know, it just seemed a little, it was sketchy.
It's 45 cents to check your balance, $1.50 if your account's inactive for 90 days, $2 for withdrawing at a non-Chase ATM, $7.50 to replace the card for a second time. Now, a few bucks here or there may not sound like much, but for someone just out of prison, trying to reintegrate into society...
It's bus fare to a job, it's a meal, it's a room for a night.
Karen Martin researches fees and debt at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice.
There's this split mentality. On the one hand, we are saying we would like to reintegrate people. And on the other hand, we are having lots of policies that are undermining their ability to reintegrate.
The policy of contracting with private companies that charge prisoners for their services is pretty standard.
The Bureau of Prisons contracts out all kinds of goods and services type things.
Jack Donson spent 23 years as a case manager in a federal prison.
The institution has food vendors, you know, vending machine vendors, halfway houses.
For those contracts, one thing that can drive down prices is there's usually a competitive bidding process. Steve Tadelis is an economist at UC Berkeley who's studied government contracts.
If you're a government agency and you want to procure pencils, well, there are a gazillion producers of pencils.
To get the best pencil price, just have them all make an offer and pick the one that's lowest. But for the JPMorgan Chase debit cards and the in-prison accounts handled by Bank of America, an investigation by the Center for Public Integrity found that competitive bidding didn't happen.
It is definitely a departure from the typical federal acquisition rules.
Tadelis says that could make economic sense for complicated, evolving projects that are hard to price. But debit cards?
This looks a lot more like a pencil than a fighter jet or complex IT system.
Treasury's Office of the Inspector General is now investigating the contracts. In New York, I'm Stan Alcorn for Marketplace.
And see that thing over there in the charger? Chances are the free Marketplace app fits in there, just saying. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.